Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Congratulations, dreamers. Today is the day you can begin applying for temporary permits to be in the United States legally for 2 years under the program President Obama has put into place. But don't get scammed. Our first guest today is the New York Secretary of State, Cesar Perales, to share advice with us about what you should do today if you're 30 or under and brought here illegally by your parents, and how to protect yourselves against scammers lurking out there waiting to rip you off. Secretary Perales, a pleasure. Welcome to WNYC.
It's my pleasure to be here.
And listeners, our phones are open. Let's hear your stories of how this program is already changing your life. If it is, it's been a few months now since President Obama announced it. Today is the first day to formally apply, but people have known about it for these several months. Has it changed your life, your work status, your feelings about your life, or your plans for your life in this country? Dreamers and family members of Dreamers, call us up with your questions for Secretary Perales or your stories, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. So, Secretary Perales, technically this program is known as deferred action. What does that term mean? We lost them? All right. We have lost Secretary Perales for the moment. But meanwhile, Dreamers, we can take your phone call. We'll have him back in just a second. He's probably back already. Secretary Perales, you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I apologize for whatever that problem was.
It was my fault. I'm sorry.
This program technically is known as deferred action. What does that term mean?
Well, the deferred action refers to a deferral from deportation. In essence, what the Obama administration has done is said that we're going to focus on people that we really want to deport from this country. And we're going to let those people whom we do not want to deport at this point get a document from us that says you can stay here for 2 years. You are protected from deportation. You are not a priority for deportation. And at the same time, we're going to allow you to work. We will provide you with a work permit. And that is what deferred action is. And in New York State alone, it is estimated that there may be as many as 80,000 young people who come within the definition of those eligible for deferred action. And those that are eligible are people that came here as young people, as youngsters, people who came here and not because they made a voluntary decision to come here, but they came with their families. They were under 16 at the time of their arrival. They have been here for at least 5 years consecutively. They have not committed any serious crimes, and they've gone to school and or graduated or are currently in school. Those are the basic requirements for deferred action.
Still, that title, deferred action, I would have thought they could come up with something more welcoming than that. Deferred action just sounds like sign here and we'll deport you later. Are you not worried that that'll scare people away?
Well, it has scared people away. But I really believe that the government, once having offered this, is not going to turn around and deport people the minute that their 2 years are up. No government can do something like that. That it would be, in essence, to trick people. So that I am advising young people who have been living in the shadows, who have gone to school and can't even get a job legally, I'm advising them to take advantage of this, and that I am confident that our government is not going to deceive young people like this to later deport them.
You mentioned some of the specific criteria, the age at which you came, how long you've been here, your age now. How will people be able to prove those things? Having been brought here illegally as children, none of this may exist in writing. You may not even have a birth certificate.
You're absolutely right. I've just come from a meeting with consul generals from a number of nations that have young people who are nationals of those countries. And we have gone over the requirements. These consulates are prepared to issue passports to those young people who can prove that they were born in their countries. They are prepared to provide whatever other documentation they can to ensure that these young people have an opportunity to come up with the documents. The other documents, of course, are more easily available. And we're talking about school documents. You should have a diploma if you graduated. If you're in school, the school should be able to provide you with evidence of the fact that you are a student. This can be done. It's not easy, but that gets us to the subject that I'm most concerned about, and that's those con artists out there that are going to say to these young people, I'll take care of it for you. Don't worry about it. Just give me a couple of $1,000, and we'll get started. The reality is many of this is an opportunity for these young people. It ought not to be an opportunity for con artists, and that is what concerns me most, and that's why I've become involved on behalf of the Cuomo administration to warn people about the fact that there are con artists out there, to let people know that there are alternatives.
What's the most common pitch? If a con artist is going to come up to me and thinks I'm a dreamer and I might be susceptible to their pitch, what are they going to say to me?
Well, they're going to say to you that don't worry about it. I can handle it. I can guarantee you that I will get you your work permit, that you're going to be able to stay in this country. Nobody can guarantee anything. This is an application that you make to the government, and that you hope if you do it correctly that the government will grant you this deferred action. So first of all, the first thing you worry about is somebody who gives you a guarantee. The second thing is that many of these people are not lawyers. And they can't do this. This is an unauthorized practice of law. And so you have to tell young people, these people have to be lawyers. Second of all, I think this is what is so important that we're doing here in New York State, is there are alternatives. We are lining up pro bono lawyers. We're trying to organize them so that bar associations will provide free consultation services. We have a hotline that provides basic information. It's the New York's NYS, deferredaction.ny.gov. That is a website where you can get all of the information. And if you want to call, we've got trained people on a hotline. It's 1-800-566-7636. We're trying to provide alternatives to those con artists, to those scammers, so that young people will be able to get solid information for free.
You want to give out that hotline number again?
Sure. It's 1-800-566-7636. And the website is NYS Deferred Action. One word. NYSdeferredaction.ny.gov.
And listeners, if you want to call in right now on the air with any questions about how to avoid scammers related to this deferred action, which takes effect today in the United States, or with general questions about applying, 212-433-WNYC to talk to the New York Secretary of State, Cesar Perales, right now on the air, 212-433-9692, or tell us your stories. How has this already changed your life or your child's life or your plans for what you think your life in the United States is going to be like? 212-433-9692. How much does it cost for people to apply for deferred status?
Well, the actual application for deferred status itself does not cost money, but you are required to file for work authorization, and you're also required to go to their offices and have your fingerprints taken. And I think the total cost is $400 and some odd. So that it is not cheap. That money should be spent on paying the fee, not paying some con artists.
And you talk about con artists posing as lawyers. Should potential applicants consult with real lawyers before coming forward to apply?
No. What they should do is call the hotline. That doesn't cost you money. And if you need a legal consultation, we are organizing legal consultations already. They will be on our website, which is why I gave the name of the website. They will have the times, the places where we will have lawyers that will give free consultation. That does not mean that somebody may need a lawyer to protect them, to be sure that they don't put something down in that application that will get them into trouble, into deportation. But and in that situation, they will have to go to an authorized attorney, or should go. But the point is, they should not just respond to any ads that they see, whether it be on the internet or in a newspaper, without, at the very least, calling our hotline, getting some basic information so that they'll know if they've got a particular problem. For example, you might have a person who's got a criminal conviction, and they are not sure whether or not this is going to bar them from deferred action. They may need to consult a lawyer. It's not going to be enough just to listen to some a broad orientation. That attorney is going to have to look at what that particular crime was, the circumstances, and whether or not that is a bar.
So if you did something that will cause you to get rejected, will you then get deported?
That is a possibility. It's not a guarantee, but you could open yourself up to a deportation proceeding.
If what? If you've committed a crime primarily?
Yeah, that's a good example. For example, the government has been quite clear. This deferred action is available to what we would call the best kids. So if you have committed a felony, or if you have more than two misdemeanors, or even a serious misdemeanor, you are not eligible for this deferred action. And so in that situation, it would be appropriate for the young person to consult an attorney. But under most circumstances, that is probably not necessary.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC with the New York Secretary of State, Cesar Perales, here on day one of President Obama's Deferred Action Program. In other words, this is the first day that if you meet the criteria, basically being 30 or under, being brought here illegally as a child, completing or in high school, been here more than 5 years, not having a criminal record, mostly those things, you can apply for at least 2 years of legal status in the United States, 212-433-WNYC, or at least immunity from deportation. Let's call it that, 212-433-9692. And you can also get working papers, Social Security card, driver's license, if you get approved for this process. Hubert in Brooklyn, you're on the air. Hi, Hubert.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your question?
I was just wondering if you could give me some insight about my naturalization papers that I paid for 2 years ago for a copy of it, and the government's been giving me to run around really trying to get that paper.
This is a little bit off the topic that we're actually doing today, but Secretary Perales, give Hubert a little bit of a clue here. If he's having trouble with his naturalization papers, which is an entirely different process, what should he do?
Well, rather than get into it without knowing exactly what happened, I would suggest that he call that 1-800 number, 1-800-566-7636. We respond to questions that go beyond deferred action. This is called the New York State New American Hotline. So I would suggest that you call there and talk to the folks who are answering that hotline.
Good luck, Hubert. Deandra in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi there.
Hi, good day, gentlemen. Brian, I love your show. I always listen in.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I work for a not-for-profit, the Immigrants Journal, in Brooklyn, and we've been helping people who are applicable for the deferred action, the Dreamers, by giving them free advice on the deferred action. We also, you know, we are serious about fraud as well, so we work with a legal advisor, Brian Figueroa, attorney. But a lot of them are coming to me and asking and are very afraid. I know you addressed this question already, kind of, Brian, by asking, you know, what will happen after the 2 years. But if Romney becomes president, he already said that he would do away with the program. So I was just wondering, a lot of them are afraid if Obama does not, you know, make it to actually pass, you know, the DREAM Act, and then obviously keep deferred action alive, then what? A lot of them are afraid, and a lot of people are staying in the shadows because of this.
Right. It's a great question, and I know a lot of people are asking it. But Secretary Perales, my understanding is that Romney has not said he would end the program, but neither has he promised to keep the program. Do you have an understanding of that? And in either case, what's the risk of getting temporary status now and then having the rug pulled out and there you are on record with the government and undocumented again?
Yeah, well, there's no question that there is a risk. My own sense and the sense of most of the folks that I have spoken to is that we don't believe that a new administration, a Romney administration or not, is going to decide that given that a prior president had made this commitment, made this understanding, that they're going to use the information that they have received when these people applied for deferred action, use it against them to subsequently deport them. That would be, almost beyond the realm of acceptable conduct by any government. And so I'm encouraging young people to apply. That I think this is perhaps but the first step in actually legitimizing their presence in our country.
And what Romney has been saying, and choosing his words very carefully, is basically that this is just a temporary solution. It doesn't really solve the DREAM Act issue, and he wants to look for a permanent solution if he's elected president. So he's not really saying he will repeal this if he gets in. He's not saying if Congress fails to come up with a permanent solution that they can pass that he'll repeal it. He's kind of, I think, trying to wink at people and saying, look, we're not going to totally mess you up here, but that he wants to do it his way. Is that your understanding?
Yeah, that is clearly the implication of his remarks. While I don't want to get into the politics of this, I think it would be very, very difficult for a subsequent president to take that action.
To turn around and actually deport somebody who signed up legally.
Exactly.
Through a federal government program.
It would be a shock.
Linda in Princeton, you're on the air. Hi, Linda.
Well, good morning, Brian and Secretary Perales. I have neighbors who are contemplating this, and I am concerned about them for one reason. Will this mean that anyone who has been working, say, with an illegal Social Security number will be subject to paying back taxes, which can run $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, federal and state? Once they've completed their application, they would have to reveal, I assume, where they have been working, et cetera. Do you happen to know?
Well, the application, the form that has been published, does not request any information about whether you've been working, where you've been working, and that kind of thing. That is not part of the application process, nor would I suggest that anybody volunteer that information when making an application. They just have to prove that they have been here for the last 5 years consecutively, where they were born, their age. It's got nothing to do where you have been working. And the evidence you will presume that you will provide has got to do more with schooling and that kind of thing. You'd have to be a little silly to prove that you've been here by providing a fake Social Security number or something else like that.
And I understand if you get approved for this deferred action, you can get a real Social Security card. Is that right?
That's correct. In fact, the application requires you not just to request deferred action, but to request a work authorization.
Is it a temporary special Social Security card?
Not to my knowledge. I'm not expert on that, but no one has said there will be special temporary Social Security cards, to my knowledge.
And this would allow people to get driver's licenses, too?
Well, that is obviously depends on the state, and the driver's licenses are granted by each state under different rules.
And in New York, the driver's licenses, I presume, would not have a big red deferred action stamp on them?
I can't speak for that issue. I don't know that the Department of Motor Vehicles has even had a chance to think about this issue.
Miriam in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with the New York Secretary of State. Hello.
Yes, hi. How are you?
Okay.
My name is Miriam, and I'm a guidance counselor for the Department of Education.
Mm-hmm.
And my question to the gentleman is, what do I do in a situation where the mom comes to the country pregnant with a child who's born in another country, say Mexico, and gives birth to her second child here who's an American citizen and is afraid of dealing with the system because she's an illegal immigrant. And I only bring this up because I was in a situation one time where I did have a family several years ago where the child was, her first child was born in Mexico, and she didn't even enroll this child in school for fear of being deported. So there was a child being left at home without getting an education.
I'm so glad you brought this up, Miriam, because Secretary Perales, I can tell you that at least three of our callers so far, and Miriam's the one who's going to get on the air to kind of represent them, are asking the same question. Is there risk to the parents who are not covered under deferred action if their children come forward?
Well, the form itself and the instructions with the form make it very, very clear that none of this information that is provided can be used for purposes of deportation. Just as people who would confidentially report on their census form, the government has never used information that they received on the census to try to deport people. It is the same promise we are getting now, that this information can only be used for purposes of the deferred action application. It cannot be used and will not be turned over to anybody who is involved in deporting people.
But what about what you were saying earlier about there would be a risk, there could be a risk to people who have committed crimes and report that and get rejected for that reason if they've committed past crimes, that then they'd be at risk of deportation? Would they not use that information, or would they use that information?
Well, that's a tougher question. I think there you do run the risk, as I indicated. That is different. It's not being used to find out where your parents live or the status of your parents. That's one question.
Mm-hmm.
The other is, if you identify yourself as someone who has committed crimes, that you are a felon, that does expose you to deportation. Just as, in other words, filing the deferred action is not going to protect you from that.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, if you've committed a felony, you're going to be targeted for deportation if the government can find you. And that's the reality. That's why it's only some people who are getting deferred action. It's
right.
Only some people that are being protected from deportation. This is not in any way going to help criminals.
Let me take one more caller, and that is Stacy in Brooklyn. Stacy, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
My question is, I fall under the requirements for everything else. I'm coming here when I was 14, going to high school, having a high school diploma. But I'm not 31 anymore. I'll be 40 this year, so what are my options?
You'll be 40 this year. So Secretary Perales, she's got no options under this particular program, right?
That's right. That's right. At the current, you're not eligible to apply for deferred action under this program. There are many who would hope that if this works, if this is received well by our country, our society, that we will subsequently have other changes in the law. But this does not affect anyone who is not between the ages of 15 and 30.
Do you have the actual birthday cutoff there? Do you have the actual date? Because I know there was some confusion about that, like whether people had to be under 30 or 30 or under. It's 30 or under, I'm pretty sure, right?
On June 15th, which is when I don't remember whether if you had your birthday already. I mean, it's under 30. Presumably, you had not completed your 30th year on June 15th.
But then we're still confused because I thought it was 30 or under. And so you could be 30 on June 15th, but you couldn't turn 31 after June 15th.
No, I think it's 30 or under.
Okay.
I mean, you had not reached 30th birthday. But, well, you know where it is, if I sound confused, let's go on that website, nysdeferredaction.ny.gov. It's got all of the information. I don't have it memorized, but it's all there.
And just tell tell me also where people go to apply? Because they don't apply through the state. They apply through the federal government, right?
That's right. On the form itself, it gives you the address of where you send your application.
Where do you get the form?
Oh, it's online. You can get it from USCIS. You can get it on our website.
What's that web address?
nysdeferredaction.ny.gov.
And listeners, if you can't remember that and you want to just go through our site, we put a link up right to that. You can go to wnyc.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, and there is the New York State hotline number for people with questions about this deferred action program that the secretary gave out before. I'll give it one more time. It's 1-800-566-7636, 1-800-566-7636. This is the first day that you can actually apply for the deferred action status if you're eligible under the program that President Obama announced in June. And we offer great thanks to the New York Secretary of State, Cesar Perales, for starting us off today and giving so many people so much information about the program and how to protect yourselves from scammers trying to rip you off around it. Thank you very, very, very much.
Thank you, Brian, for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And we think we have the answer now. We have looked it up yet again, and I still think I'm right. You had to be under the age of 31 as of June 15th, 2012. So you 30-year-olds, I think you're in. Coming up next, we have Liz Benjamin from YNN, Capital Tonight, covers New York State politics, how one special congressional election in upstate New York was a national defeat for Paul Ryan, and what it portends for the presidential race. Stay with us.